You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hey, and welcome to this week's FX PhD from Sundance.
Yep, live from the casting couch. It's, it's of course us, and we're joined by a celebrity guest. Yes, as it is Sundance, we thought we'd hunt. Now, we went through a number of celebrities to decide who to bring to you today. We ignored Tiger Woods when we saw him in the sandwich shop. We bypassed Jack Black when we were recording, and we certainly ignored many other stars. But we did manage to agree on this one individual, so hello.
Hello.
And that would be the voice of course, Jeff Huser.
I'm sure you've heard him before in our podcast on FX Guide.
And now you've just disappointed an entire crowd.
Well, actually, I think the whole celebrity spotting thing's a bit weird. Having said that,
Wait, we had Sandra Oh the other day on Main Street.
Yep.
Literally, Tiger Woods behind us at Quiznos.
At Quiznos.
Quiznos.
I'm
proud of that.
This is a fast food submarine sandwich type place.
Which we were in because it was next door to the Starbucks, and we thought, well, we're here. And then we saw on the at the airport, we had Ben Kingsley and Maria Bello on our plane. This Sundance is kind of nuts. It's just every other person is either a celebrity or they're carrying a camcorder.
Yeah, I must admit, the walking up and down Main Street, there's about 15 to 20 film crews. I think it's about a rate of 3 per block.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was, HVXs and Sony cameras. We've seen 2 Reds.
All over there. And week start out. We got here on Friday, and actually that was the premiere of I Love Sarah Jane that night, which was actually fantastic to see up on the screen and see the final grade on it.
It was pretty cool, actually, to be seeing it with an audience. And, of course, the other thing that was nice is on that Friday, it was free on the website. So I know a lot of you guys got to actually watch it. And I've been really interested, and we've been following moment to moment the postings in the forums as to your reaction to the film and stuff.
Yeah, it seems like what was the comment? The Australian kids certainly cuss a lot.
Oh, fuck that.
I'm just going to... The script went through their parents. Their parents were on set. It was,
Well, and obviously in the film, the whole idea is your parents are gone. And so what's the first thing that's going to go? It's going to be your language you're going to do.
Yeah, Lord of the Flies is a good comparison. No, I really liked it. And from my standpoint, I wasn't involved in the production. I know you guys were working on it. I saw stuff go by in the classes, and it was exciting to see it in the theater and see the reaction of the crowd and...
It was great, and what I, again, for those of you who've seen it, and it's going to be on iTunes, those of you who have Netflix accounts, it's going to be on there as well, but I thought what was really great about it, in comparison to a lot of short films that you might see, is the story arc in the film, too. Really important, obviously, the bottom line in filmmaking.
I will say, absolutely, and not to be... Just to pan out a bit from just focusing on Sarah Jane, which I think was brilliant, and of course, great to see so many postgrads in the credits, and I'm sure we'll come to Spider in a second, but on the same session as us, there were a couple of remarkable other films. There was one there by a Chinese filmmaker who basically did a dramatic piece based on a true story of someone that's raped on a bus in a remote area and nobody does anything. And it was really confronting, but yet, obviously... Good filmmaking.
Again, that had storytelling.
Amazing.
That was what was really set apart. In addition to the high production value and the really great eye of the director, it was fantastic. And I would say even in that screening, there were several others at that level, but then there were several others where I thought the story was a little bit lacking as well, too. I mean, or at least not at as high a level as the others.
Yeah, sometimes I think that it's easy for short films to fall into the masturbatory realm. I really love this shot, or I really love this... There's no story, there's no end, it's just some images on the screen. I'm not making any film we saw. I'm
films.
Just saying in general.
Yeah.
But the thing I like about both the films we have here is the fact they both do have a twist and a spirit and a story and a finish.
Okay, but the one for me, the three for me, were the Isabel Rossellini films called Green Porno. And this is basically, and I don't know if this is on the web or not yet, but this is Isabel Rossellini in insect character describing the sexual mating practices of, spiders and stuff. And, I'm a huge Isabel Rossellini fan, and these were just hysterical.
Dialogue great, editing great.
I just read, too, this morning that there's actually... Sundance has commissioned her to do 5 more of these, so there's 3 now. They're all short. They're, 3 minutes. They're not long at all, but it's her in a leotard with props acting out the sex life or mating ritual. And what I understand one of the next ones is a praying mantis, which ought to be interesting.
Yeah, and I'm somebody said she was here, so she may be at one of the screenings, which would be cool because I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, no, that was really fun. And it was nice the way they broke them up and interjected them in between. So it was like there wasn't just three things back to back. They were in between other films.
As far as a Sundance moment, too, for us, it was fun because we were all eating dinner and actually the entire power went out in Main Street and the old part of Park City.
Yeah, Main Street in Park City is really cool. Nice little shops and restaurants. And we had scored some reservations to a nice restaurant for dinner downstairs, waited our turn to get in line about an hour later than we were supposed to. But we had time to get dinner in before the screening, and right after the soup course, the power went out for 25 minutes. So we never got our entree. Had to run out to go to get the bus.
Yeah, that would be the bus that I had forgotten to check was going to the right actual location. So consequently, we then had to dash to a second bus to try and actually get to the screening before the film started.
But it made the screening even better.
It did. It was great. It was really great.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about anecdotes, right? And we're doing our whole entourage thing here. You should know that. Like, we're just having a time of our lives. But we're also serious in connecting up with filmmakers. And I want to flag one of the filmmakers and actually...
PhD members, yeah.
Yeah, FXD PhD members. What did I just say? Is that
He's
right?
a filmmaker and member. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Anthony Young. And Anthony, or Tony... is in PhD. He contacted us. Actually, I first met him. He reminded me in the queue to get into the Apple presentation at NAB, though I didn't really talk to him much then. But we've actually got to have lunch with him and hang out with him here at a bit of Sundance. He is actually based in Salt Lake City, and his company, Digital Bytes, is which is, I think, digital-bytes.com. I haven't looked at their website. But anyway, he's a great guy, but his company is providing the production services for AMC. Is that right, John?
Yeah, the AMC shootout, and they're filming a bunch of stuff because obviously, as we've been talking, you know, the stars here are just lined up down the street.
Yeah, there's interview suites and photography suites all set up and gift suites where the celebrities walk out. Some band walked in while we were having lunch yesterday with Anthony. Some band, I couldn't tell who they were, but they had black eye makeup on, and they were definitely musicians, were carrying bags, stuff to the brims. I mean, literally, I saw an iPod dock of some sort and just like, you know, big shopping bags stuffed to the brims with stuff that people give them. It's wacky.
It's a great time to get a hold of those people. And they've got this studio set up on Main Street that's really fantastic. He built the set.
Five cameras,
rented cameras. I'm actually not sure what type of cameras they are, but it's it's a five-camera ISO shoot recording to different tapes so they can edit it and post. A little window scene looking out to the street.
And Tony's crew is such nice guys. Yeah. Really nice guys. And they let us go up there today and hang out with them while they were producing a show, which was Michelle Gondry with Jack Black, which was really good for Be Kind Rewind. And I guess we should tell people a bit about the film because they probably haven't heard of it yet, but you will soon. So,
My understanding is what I've read about the movie is it's a story about two guys working in a video store who one guy accidentally erases all the tapes in the video store, and they have an eccentric customer who they decide to recreate movies. Themselves.
Well, actually, Jack Black's brain is magnetic and wipes the tapes, right? Ah. And then Moss, who is in, you know, Hitchhikers, and they decide to recreate the movies that they've lost from the video store so people can rent them, right? So they start actually filming, like, on $15 budgets, you know, things like RoboCop and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then they rent them out, of course, you know, and then they just wait thinking that people are going to come back in and just scream blue murder, right? Because you've rented this movie and it's got, you know, guys in shot on DV effectively. But they don't. They start forming this enormous queue of people that are keen to rent the next film that these guys make, like, say, King Kong. And what was so funny was hearing Michelle Gondry giving Jack Black, in the nicest possible way, complete loads of shit. Michelle Gondry, what a great filmmaker, eh?
Yeah, exactly. And they had a good rapport with each other. I'll be looking forward to seeing that interview, actually, when it comes out on AMC sometime in the future.
Yeah, no, it was really, really good. And of course, we had two interests there, because Michelle Gondry, we love his work, and we think he's a really inspirational filmmaker. And we like his sort of non-literal narrative approach. But the second thing, of course, it was really good to see Tony's crew and how they had the setup and how they were running things, because, you know, obviously we do a bit of our own studio.
I thought you were going to say Jack Black. Because I was actually also excited to see Jack.
Oh, well, I think Jack was good, right?
But yeah, no, I know.
I don't know if we can... what we call this in Australia... Okay, I already got a reputation for swearing too much, but literally, we call that star fucking, right? And we're just not into it, really.
Oh, yeah, I thought you said I thought you really were excited to see him on that.
I was excited to hear his point, and I was great to hear him with Michelle Gondry, right?
Yeah.
Totally. No, I think he's a great actor. I will go see any film he is in.
Right.
But having said that, I've got to say, I was equally interested in Tony's setup and how they were running.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, quite frankly, as I was saying, we do a bit of stuff. We shoot a, you know, shoot a bit of stuff. And what?
No, it's good. And I thought
you're
he was
giving me that look, man.
I was just laughing because you said Starfucker. So I enjoy Jack Black as an actor in stuff that he brings to his roles. It wasn't like I was excited
High
to see
High Fidelity
him as
is a definitive
yeah,
film.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
Totally great,
I just want to be clear, it wasn't about seeing the, Jack Black, you know, kind of stuff. And well, he was, again, I think his, the type of stuff that he brings to a project, and especially in this movie where he was apparently doing a lot of improv on it, I think was really interesting.
Though we learn a lesson behind the scenes. Don't mention Jim Carrey to Jack Black. I mean, jokingly, I'm saying now because they actually did this in the interview, but apparently, people have been drawing parallels because of the Michel Gondry.
Really? Well, I don't see that at all, but I guess maybe.
Well, because of, you know, Jim Carrey did that Sunshine, right? And so...
Interesting.
No, but anyway, I didn't mean to derail that because it really was interesting. I was telling Mike as we were standing there watching the setup how interesting it was to be watching this TV setup. And we were talking with Tony yesterday.
You had live TV, right?
Yeah, we were talking with Tony yesterday and Jeff. And we were kind of recounting our TV stories. And it was just cool watching the setup. And I got that little kind of twinge again of that excitement that I remember when I first served as a PA on a national broadcast where you had handlers for stars. You had a whole crew and everything. And it was just like, This is cool stuff.
No, I mean, you know, for me, it's really funny. Just even the stuff we do with PhD and FX Guide TV. I mean, you know, just looking at the kit and the lighting kits and the cameras and, you know, the firestorm playing with that stuff. Do we have a score update?
Yes, we do.
And score?
San Diego just had a field goal. 7-6 New England.
7-6 New England. My wife is just reporting the Chargers New England game for us. Thank you.
All the way down.
Now, that would be a baseball game, would it?
Yes.
The other kind of football.
Oh, they call it football.
We have football. It's just we don't wear body armor.
You're not pussies.
But anyway, no, it's just really exciting. It's really interesting for me because I grew up in live TV originally and television stations. And, you know, when portable gear was not quite portable, they put a handle on it and called it portable. That was about it.
I love getting that input from Tony, too, as well. One of the things we like doing is just obviously talking and sussing out the stuff that they're doing, but actually knowing his background and seeing the wide variety of people that we have as members of FXPHD was really cool.
And, I mean, the other thing is we've actually got a studio here. We're actually sitting in our studio, not as elaborate as Tony's five-camera ISO setup, but...
It also doubles as John's bed, so... John's been on the couch. That's the reference there. Sorry.
Yeah, see, the whole thing that you just painted, this mental picture that I was sitting on some kind of porno set, which is just not what the image I was going for. I was going for the image that we've dragged it to, with you know, all our other crap, you know, the cameras and the lights and stuff, so we can do some background fundamentals and some ethics.
You'll see that this week, actually. Yeah. Background fundamentals we shot in the condo here, just right down from Main Street here at Sundance. So what's helpful about that, actually, when we learned this at Seagraph, is it's really good to have a home base of where you can bring people back to talk to them and set them up. Set up the lights. You know the lighting. We now know that the sun travels really quickly between 1:30 and 2, as you'll see in the Flame 302 course.
Yep.
But again, we've kind of learned that from this production stuff that we've been doing. That it really helps.
I think the other thing is that we were trying to respond to a few of the things that were brought up in the forums. I know, in particular for me, I was trying to speak a bit slower, and I was trying to do more graphics to illustrate the key points and stuff, certainly in week one and now in week two. And that's been picked up by people in the forums. They really appreciate it. And somebody said that that's that loop that they like. And that's the thing we've always said, which is, you know, we could easily record everything weeks and weeks ahead and have it in the can or record it all in one day, right? And so you've just, you know, put them all to bed in the same day. But, of course, then we don't get the feedback loop. And if you say stuff, we can't incorporate it in the classes.
That's why we're not making DVDs.
Though I did get
all interactive.
I did get the private message on Saturday night at 2 a.m. to... John, you're at Sundance. Get the fuck offline.
Yeah, somebody did complain. I mistyped something, and somebody pointed out that it was wrong. I was like, well, you know, it is 2 o'clock in the morning on, like, Saturday morning at Sundance. I mean, I'm sorry.
So I guess thanks for the support. But, yeah, we are there to try and listen and help, and we're definitely open to taking your criticism and feedback and turning into positive
stuff. This location that we're at is brilliant because we are only, like, 10 minutes away from Main Street, and yet we can actually watch the skiers coming down the slope and... Of course, at night, they light that mountain up so we can see the night skiing. So
we're just getting itchy to looking at the ski slopes. And Mike with the shoulder
If it wasn't for the shoulder, I would be like, and here we are on top of the chairlift, and we're about to go.
Well, and yeah, see, my favorite part of skiing is the lodge at the bottom of the hill. Although, for some reason, I kept looking for – I was driving around today looking for lodges at the top of the hill, and kind of realized that's not going to work.
Yeah, not so much with the top of the hill. But, you know, there's that whole phenomenon, right, that a hot chocolate tastes just infinitely better with a ski lodge around it.
It's very true.
But I think that was Schultz that said that.
Although it is kind of wacky here with the whole membership club. Charles Schultz?
Yeah.
The wacky membership rules with the bars and stuff. You have to join the bar to become a member of the bar.
And that would be no surprise that you, of the three of us, was the first to discover the bar rules, my friend.
Yes. Well, you know. They had to try out their margaritas.
And bring my membership card back whenever I ski.
Yes.
This is great.
Yes. Yes was the answer I was informed to the question, if you're a member. That's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, and the Sundance organizing committee's done a really amazing job, I think. Like, it's a heck of a show.
There's so many people here, and yet you can still manage everything, and the buses are insane. They're just every seven minutes, like nonstop. They're just there.
Yeah, they've got their stuff together and scheduling and organizing and credentials and things like that. You know, they're really sticklers about stuff, right? Because you have to be with all the people coming in. But a ski town, those of you who haven't, you know, been to ski towns before, they're not always really set up to handle high volume of crowd coming into the town.
No, and you know what? Everyone's friendly.
The bus guys
are all friendly. And
yeah, it's really good. So it's been a great experience.
Hey, something else in the forums that I was going to mention is that, and of course the lock-in period is something we want to discuss, because we're at the end of week one, beginning of week two, and these first 2 weeks are critical in your ability to try out any of the courses, any of the 30-odd courses we have to decide what you want to lock into. So I can't tell you yet what everybody's enrolled in, because clearly, you know, people are still jumping around. But I just from forum traffic, I think the sysadmin course looks like it's going to be a real winner.
Yep.
People seem to be really responding to that.
Yeah, that in the After Effects course. Tim's doing a cool thing in the After Effects course where he's got the doing a little good assignments. It's essentially something that he'd get from his client. He's passing that on to the members of his course. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking. The sysadmin course is going to be a great one to check out, even if I'm not, you know, I think everybody ends up having to do a little sysadmin work here and there, depending on their facility, and everybody has to. It's just good to have some understanding. I think that's going to be a great course. Photography, the next photography course.
People have enjoyed that first class.
Yeah.
I must admit, the typography stuff, just when I knew we were going to get that course, I was just like, wow.
Yeah, he's pretty into it.
Well, you know, the really thing good. Is that, I mean, you
Where
obviously
you get that,
are more of a designer than I am, John, and I totally give you full credit for all of the design work and styling for PhD, because I really, you know, learned a long time ago that, you know, that wasn't that, you know, so I'd love your design, right? But having said that, just generally with typography, I think that that there is so much more to it than first meets the eye, and good typography, but yet alone designing fonts, is extraordinarily complex.
Yeah, and I think that really helps you learn about fonts and design by doing that. I think, you know, learning the roots and the real base knowledge level with that is is really quite interesting, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm certainly taking that class because one of the reasons we want to do that is because I haven't seen anything like this out there. I've seen seminars.
Well, and it's the kind of thing, too, that even if you're never going to design your own font, it's nice to know what's possible, how it works, and the design aspects that he's going to talk about, I'm sure. And I'm going to be following that course as well.
See, that's the thing. I think that we've got courses now that are what I think are our backbone, right? Like our first love, the Flame, the Nuke, the Shakes, the After Effects, all that sort of stuff, hardcore, that's our base. Not moving away from that from a second. But now we've got that base, we can start hitting these areas. Like, we couldn't have put sysadmin in the first term, right? Just wouldn't have been enough people interested and would have, you know.
And I would have to say, actually, when you posted that question in the forums, I would say the response was tepid last term. There were several who said that was really good, but then others, you know what, that's not really interesting. But I think once people saw what we're doing and is taking a look at the course, they're going, oh, yeah, I get it. And they're really loving that course, I think, you know.
But I mean, like, even, like, and I'm going to toot my own whistle, but like the background course, we're doing the stuff about the business side of things, right? The typography course you mentioned, the sysadmin, a few of these courses, they're not mainstream stuff. I don't see them anywhere else. I just don't see professional high-level stuff that's not talking down, you know, not sort of the magic of television. Ooh, you know, isn't it, you know, wow, here are the movie makers kind of crap.
I'll put a plug in for this week's background. I mean, that was enjoyable. It's just like the three of us kind of sitting around talking about things that we do in our careers to make our departments better and
Does that mean last night's dinner is a tax deduction?
Everything's a tax deduction. No, the background fundamentals, I have to give you amazing props on that. It's just, I mean, it's been how many half-hour shows now? This is the seventh
We're up in the 80 shows.
80 yeah, half-hour shows in the course of the terms. I mean, that's an amazing amount of work. And, you know, if I was not involved with FX Guide, FX PhD at all, I'd pay the money for FX PhD just for background fundamentals and be happy. I mean, it's just, it's always that good. And that, I mean, the high-speed camera stuff last term,
The lens extension stuff.
Yeah, I was telling you about that the other day. I mean, it's stuff that I don't, again, it's not, you know, helicopter, remote control helicopter stuff that you've done. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that's so broad-ranging that, you know, no, you may not be going out next week to shoot with a, you know, a radio-controlled helicopter or to shoot with a lens adapter on front of an HVX, but knowing that that's possible and, how, and what some of those shortcomings are and what the what to look out for, and it's just, it's invaluable, base knowledge that I think is what we lack. It's so hard to find in this business if you're not, stuff comes to your face and you get in front of it. This is, it exposes you to that.
And it's
love
a great
that.
Thing because it kind of, there, you can do a whole course about some of these things, right?
Well,
you
no. Know? And the idea of background fundamentals, that's what the background refers to. It's like background knowledge. It's not meant to be you're sitting there as a DOP using this lens and that this is an intensive course on. This is the sort of background stuff you want to know, back of your head. So when someone comes in with a script and says, we really want to shoot short depth of field, but we don't have the budget for a big 35, and you can say, hey, what about shooting?
Or somebody comes in with some footage and it's got a spinning black dot on it and you're going, wow, how did that happen? What's is there a fly in a circle? What the hell is that? You know?
Yeah.
No, well, that's probably because it's ground glass. You go, oh, wait, did you shoot with a lens adapter? You know, I mean, it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then you know what? I mean, that can really actually make the difference between getting a connection with a client or not. If you are able to discuss their on-set stuff and practical discussions with DOPs about depth of field and stuff.
They come to you earlier in the process than they might not otherwise have come to you, and that's why it's so critical. They come to you as an information source before, you know, even worrying about the post stuff.
So important. It's just that it's the original mantra of FX PhD when we started was the, you know, training, but also career enhancement, skills development, but, you know, continuing education kind of thing, which is so hard in this business. You know, when you read Cinefex, you get one little version of stuff. And the podcasts we do, we get one version of stuff. But this is a chance for us to go out and show, you know, FX Guide TV is a shorter thing. This gives us a chance to really, you know, give something 8-9 minutes, you know, or whatever it might be, a half hour even. To really to give you just enough to get you the basics for it with the background.
And I've got to say, one of those things, like we don't want to sound too altruistic here, because one of the things that's true is that if something just interests us, we just go for it. I mean, we figure if it's of interest to us, it's probably of interest to you guys. So it's quite that simple. It's like, you know what? I want to learn about it. Yeah, it's like, you know, stereoscopic. That's what my thing at the moment. I'm like all into stereoscopic, right? And of course, guess what? We're going to do some of that coming up.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, we're really busy doing this stuff, spending basically all of our time doing stuff for PhD. Anything we do seems to have to come back to doing PhD. Well, but then we just turn into stuff we want to learn.
We were joking about that yesterday, right? It was like we suddenly get something. We got some weird habit, right? Like scrapbooking. We'd have to suddenly start doing whole courses on scrapbooking. I mean, God forbid I should get into like knitting or something.
Please don't.
But the point is.
But it is.
Yeah, and it's great. And you know what? Here's the other thing that's extraordinary. Is just how generous people are with their time in helping us. Oh my God. Like, you just, there's some stuff I can't talk about yet that literally we've done now for discussion in 2009, December 2009. No more hints. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'm saying, like, there's just people are really, really generous. Sometimes they can't disclose stuff right now. But we just...
Even the discussions of the postgrads, some of the stuff that we talked about from the DV Rebel course, we're still continuing discussions from those classes I did. Someone found something. We actually helped get it through to Adobe, confirmed it with Adobe, and they're going to be fixing it in a bug release. So
wow.
I love that kind of high-level discussion, just even in the forums, not just in people in our...
Well, I also love, too, that it's things like the Red that come in that are game changers, that are, you know, new technology that we get in front of people faster, give them exposure to it, you know, on that level is fantastic, because that's the kind of stuff that, you know, people are going to be using soon.
You know, I'm not allowed to mention Red too many times because Tal gives me shit.
Tal.
I know. I was the guy at NABs for years going, Mike, no more Red talk, no more Red talk. And I was wrong.
Well, no, I just, you know, it's a good, valid part of the picture. But I really like it.
No, I'm with you, and God knows I want to know what's going on with Scarlett. So
yeah, that's the, new,
the next camera.
The next 2008.
Yeah. Watch NAB for this. So anyway, anything else you want to cover? We talked about the sign-off. That's really important to just get a chance to sample classes.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Let me just explain that, because we did change it last term for those of you. It's not – you don't have to make your selections by next Monday, which is January 20. something or other. The last
the end
Friday,
of January?
The last 28th, Monday, January 28th. You don't have to make your selections. The idea is your selections are locked in at that point. And so if you're still up in the air and haven't decided on a class, you know, go ahead and pick two. You'll get them, you know, in your schedule available, and you can take your time to pick that last course. In fact,
but you can't shop around anymore.
You can shop around. You can still see all the two previews. You don't get any more than 2 weeks of previews. Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
The preview page is a separate page. It's a separate preview classes.
Yeah. So you still get those two classes and all of them. But in fact, I just had someone sign up for their final course from last term yesterday.
You kidding me?
Oh my God. So anyway.
I like people locking in because then I know who's in what courses. Because I get because any course I'm running, I oh man. You know, John.
He's in numbers. I look at them, man. And at the end of the term to take a look at our fallback. But yeah,
I just And there are some courses that like repeat courses that don't have that many people in them. But I'm really keen to make it valuable to those people that are doing it. But yeah, I don't know. I just because it's the thing I like is that we can click on the number. We can obviously we're admin,
right?
We can find out not only the numbers but who's doing them, and then like right down to like where you guys live and what your background. So if you, anything that you've put in your personal private profiles, which we never sell to anyone, we never show anyone, but we ourselves, you know, I really try and work out who's doing the course and what's the get a feel for like where their background is.
Wait, is there another football update?
Yeah, New England scored again, a touchdown,
14-6. Wow, this game will be over by the time you hear this, but
is it? They don't actually have to touch down. I mean, they actually have to touch it on the other side. They have to get it over the line, or they have to actually walk over.
They have to have control of it. They don't have to touch it down. No.
Because our guys
maybe
actually
someday
have to touch
early
it.
In the yeah no then well, no,
our guys
curious.
Have to and so what happens is they have like all this video. Did he let go of the ball as it was approaching the ground with an inch to go?
Did they early on in the? I don't know. Maybe they did early on in the.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't know. I'm not.
So you just have to run over carrying the ball, right?
I'm the wrong user
yes.
for football questions.
Yes. Yes, you do. You just have to run over with it. Okay. So.
And I should mention again our Props for Prof program. So this is our charity program for 2008 January term. So what's happening is we've got these really cool Sundance FX PhD beanies, which we're going to give to anyone that sends props in for the profs. And then we're also going to donate per thing to charity. And so this is because people wanted to know what's going to go behind people in, say, the sysadmin course or in the photography course. And those Steve has an unbelievable collection of cool stuff to stick on shelves. But still, if you want to publicize your company, you know, send a baseball cap and we'll put it there and you can get a plug and stuff. So there you go. We're not returning anything. So if you want to send me something really valuable, thanks.
Yeah, lenses are appreciated. They'll be good on the shelf, I think, for a while. And eventually we need to not be able to see John through all the little Japanese figurines in front of him on the counter.
Oh, yeah, that was so funny. That there was an extra one every time we cut back to you.
Did you? Oh, you noticed that.
Yes,
okay,
that was awesome.
So, okay.
I loved it. Was that the DB Rebel class?
I think a little less time prepping that and a little more time.
You know what? I actually went to, also talking about that, I went to the new Sammy store in LA to buy stuff for HDR. Oh, my God. I just was like, they had to.
Candy store?
Oh.
Yeah, I know. That
and I'm pulling this
cool.
stuff out of the. And you saw it, right? It's gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Nice little threaded machined, you know, plate for a camera that you can adjust back and forth for the getting the lens over the tripod. And very nice.
Oh, with that lovely Sigma fisheye lens and the So yes, and you've done some nice. We know post your photos for people so they can see what's going on here at Sundance.
Sure, I haven't really done that much here, but we'll definitely I'll put some in the forums. The view out the window of the condo and a couple Sundance pictures. And I forgot. You know, this was the bonus for me was a concert of all things. One of my favorite performers, Jeanette Napolitano from the band Concrete Blonde, was doing a solo acoustic thing Saturday night here in Park City, and I happened to find out about it. So my wife and I went over and saw that, and it was just like about 25 people. It was just a little bonus Sundance.
Oh, that's cool. Yep.
It was great.
So the purpose for us being here at Sundance is really threefold. One, of course, it's incredibly important for us to go places where filmmakers are so we can connect up to bring you things in the future. Secondly, because we wanted to support the films that you guys contributed to and get some publicity for that and hopefully to get, you know, something to kick back into the, I don't know, increasing the numbers for this term. And I think we're going pretty well, aren't we, John? I mean, it's going to be another successful term, and that's good because we kind of stuck our neck out and added extra courses this term.
Yeah, it's been really gratifying to see the response to the new courses and the type of courses that we're doing. I think we've made some good selections in what we're doing. So,
and the big thing I think everybody can do is we have widened our courses and widened our reach, production, design, typography, system, and all that kind of stuff. Spread the word, spread the love. We need, you know, we try really hard to get the word out, and FX Guide obviously is a good vehicle to do that, but it's still limited eyes. So the more people that you can, the best endorsement is people saying they're enjoying it and loving it. So if you are, spread the word to friends and neighbors and people on the street.
Just to explain the logic there, it's pretty simple. I guess it's explicit, but just so you know. See, we like you guys. You guys are cool. We like hanging with you. So we figure if you invite your friends, then we're going to have more of you guys, right? What we don't want to do is do some kind of, you know, scattergun approach and get a kind of lot of different vibe of people in the forums. So hence, we'd much prefer to you guys to invite other mates and guys that you hang
with. We're not interested in advertising in areas that are like too far away from our profession. Because again, one thing we've been very, very cognizant of doing is making sure that we maintain the high level of discussion in the forums and the kind of knowledge that's being there. I mean, we're certainly, it's not about you need to know everything. You know, certainly not at all about that.
But. I mean, I've certainly backed off. I'm doing one less class this time so I can spend more time in the forums because, you know, yeah, I love the forums. I think they're great. And I think there's, if you're new to PhD, there's a couple of things that you should know. The really important thing is the new post button in the top of the forum. If you go into the forums and there just seems to be a wealth of stuff, there are two ways to get through the wealth of stuff. One is to just go, of course, to just your course and see what's been posted in your course. And so we have this new system now, John, that you can explain that we instituted last term, whereby we've actually got a discussion heading per class.
Yeah, there's a discussion heading per class in each of the courses.
And the other good thing is that you
how was that for expanding?
Well, I thought you were going to discuss the fact that we tried a couple of different approaches last time, and this is what we settled on. But feel free to hang me out to dry.
We just tried this, and it worked, and so we went with it.
Another beer, man. Anyway, and then the other thing was that there's this button up the top called New Posts. You click that, you're just going to see what's been posted lately, and normally it's about a page of stuff, depending on how frequently you've come back to the forums.
Three pages the last few days. It's been very active.
Yes. We actually had our most active day ever.
We did.
In the last week.
So I got to go give a talk on something. Red, actually. Over at the Red Lodge.
You get to ride in the stretch Hummer, I think is the transportation.
I have a Hummer limo, yeah. Well, I didn't pay for it.
I know. We wouldn't. That's very echo unfriendly.
And the other thing is about Sundance, it has been fun. I think you left off number three, and I'm not sure if number three
was
having fun.
I was hoping in my mind
that, you know, number three is having fun because it has been an enjoyable time. I mean, it really is rewarding and it's fun.
Well, the three of us don't get to hang out that often, without NABE or SIGGRAPH or, you know, trade show interfering.
And just, I mean, if that fun is involved talking to other people in the business, I mean, it's all, I mean, I enjoy that, right? I mean, that's why I love it. So it's, you know, it's not like you're out just going getting...
Oh, we had great fun running to these guys with their new Red on Main Street. And we were just started quizzing them with questions about, and they went, actually, you know, this is the first 8-gig mag we put in.
They wanted their first shot on the camera to be of the Egyptian theater. Here at Sundance, they thought Park City. Yeah, they thought that'd be a really cool first shot, and I think they're right. Actually,
it is really. I mean, you hear about Sundance; it's indescribable to just see the throngs of people and the look of people. I mean, it's just and the number of cameras. It's just it. I mean, we said that earlier, but it's just these are all filmmakers. This whole town is crawling. It smells of filmmakers.
Yeah, we totally. I mean, it is really no exaggeration that you'd just be walking down the street like we were yesterday, John and I coming back, holding on to our lattes, and Tom Arnold walks out, and then 10 guys are yelling and screaming, and it's just like, what's going on?
Okay. Yeah, and we want to head over to the guy who's holding the red camera.
Yeah, we're going to, like, yeah.
Yeah. There's one way to get the attention is to stand in the middle of Main Street and during Sundance holding a red camera. People will stop and talk to you.
So that's it from Sundance. I'm certainly looking forward to getting home because I miss my darling family. And John, you must be looking forward to
getting up at 4 a.m.
tomorrow morning. Yeah,
and have some fun. Be in Chicago back at noon.
Hope it doesn't snow overnight. I'm going to get snowed in or something.
Ooh,
there were crawls. There were crawls going around the TV this morning, but I don't see anything happening. So,
well, thanks for listening, guys. Again, we appreciate you guys being part of FXPhD. And as I like to say, if you're not, why the hell not?
Yeah, I'm not going to do anymore. You kids, that's it. I have no more. I have nothing else. I have run out of things to say. I know you're looking at me like that's not true. It is.
Ready? It's possible.
This is the last thing I'm going to say. Ready?
Cranking.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.